Congratulations. While we waited for our members to arrive, the Labor Committee has reached quorum, and we are now in session. First of all, on our agenda this afternoon, we have Senate File 773, and that actually is the only item on our calendar today. So we have Senator Mitchell here to present her bill, and some testifiers lined up as well. Welcome, Senator Mitchell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As mentioned, I am here to present Senate File 773. This is helmets to hard hats. This has already been in existence. My understanding is it's been redone twice over now for a total of 4 years, and we're seeking to extend it into the next 2 years. This has bipartisan support, and to date it has helped almost 200 veterans when they are coming out of their service and looking for other ways to use their skill sets or just find a new path, get the training that they need, and do that. We actually almost had a couple of people that were benefits of the program be able to speak today, but they were busy working. So I actually think that's kind of a lovely testament to that. So that's kind of the quick overview, asking for $225,000 for the 2 year period to continue the program. And I also have additional testimony with me to kind of expound a little bit more on the training that they receive.
Great. Thank you very much, Senator. And if you could introduce yourself for the record, and we look forward to hearing your testimony.
Thank you, Committee Chair, members of the committee. My name is Justin Rost. I am the director of the Minnesota Helmets to Hard Hats program. I'm also a Marine Corps veteran and sheet metal worker from here in the Twin Cities. That being said, the Helmets to Hard Hats program, this is going to be our fifth year of running strong. And I share a backstory like a lot of the veterans that I help. I'm a Marine Corps veteran, Marine Corps infantry, actually. So I know what it's like to come home after service and not know if the skills that you learned in the military were applicable to the civilian world. As an infantry Marine, obviously we do not train in paperwork and things like that. So I wasn't sure what skills I could actually bring to the table. That being said, I had a young child, like many of our returning veterans. I was married, and the financial burdens that come with having a family and having to restart your life came with that. With that, I bounced around quite a bit for up to 5 years, racking up debt, going to school, doing different things that I thought would work to get me into the place I wanted to be. But it wasn't until I found myself in the apprenticeship programs with the trades that really helped me out. When I got into the trades, it offered a structured environment. I was able to use my GI benefits. I had already used mine on college, but because they were federally accredited programs, I was able to use them if I had it. And it was a direct conduit to the middle class. So it provided financial support for me, my family, helped provide for them the things that I always hoped I would be able to do. And one of the biggest things it did for me was give me that stability financially that anything that was behaviorally a problem seemed to melt away because of that. And that's one of the biggest factors in creating a financially stable environment for veterans is we help them alleviate some of the issues that they may have brought back with them from service. I'm sure we can all agree that depression, behavioral problems, and suicide is a massive plague among the veteran community. So the Helmets to Hard Hats program has designed itself to help with all of those facets. One, we try and help provide information about the apprenticeship programs and help veterans understand what they need to do to get into those programs. We provide educational materials so that if there is any kind of comprehension testing, that they're able to get that information to and study for any testing they may have. We give geographic information, so if a veteran lives in Duluth, they're going to receive information about the apprenticeship programs that are available in Duluth. They're not going to receive necessarily Mankato and Rochester information because it's not as prevalent to them. Now, if they want to travel, we are more than happy to give them that information. However, we start with the geographic stuff as it's probably going to be easier for them to understand if that's a good fit for them or not. But then on top of it, we've spent time doing other things too to try and help with mental health and other things like that. The National Helmets to Hard Hats program, who we partner with, actually provides a mental health awareness and behavioral guide that we've been able to give to the different apprenticeships we work with. And in three separate occasions, that has resulted in critical care getting to a veteran who was in apprenticeship who was thinking about suicide. We also participated in the Twin City Suicide Prevention Coalition for Veterans, which is reshaping the way the VA does outreach throughout the nation when it comes to suicide awareness and veteran communities. On top of that, we make sure to partner with MACV, the VA hospitals, vocational rehab, DEED and Career Force, MnDOLI, and all of the other state partners that we can have to make sure that we're keeping up on educational information to be able to try and help them understand GI benefit usage and also help them if any of the wraparound services are needed, such as who their CVSO might be, their County Veteran Service Officer, or who to put them in contact with for mental health or any other issues that they may be having. So we try and make sure that we provide a wraparound service when we're dealing with veterans.
Thank you very much, Mr. Rost, for your testimony. If it's okay then with you, Senator Mitchell, we'll just proceed to the next testifier, unless there's any further comment you had before we move on.
No, thank you.
Okay. Next up, we have someone testifying via Zoom. Adam Hansen, I believe. Please state your name and title for the record and proceed with your testimony. And because you're testifying remotely, if you could please relate the city that you are testifying from, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can hear you well. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My name is Adam Hansen. I'm the chapter president of Associated Builders and Contractors, testifying from Eden Prairie this afternoon. ABC and our contractor members and the men and women they employ are part of the 73% of the Minnesota construction industry who choose to be merit shop craft professionals. Our members and their employees build our schools, our medical facilities, restaurants, clean energy projects like solar, wind, and a whole lot more. Our contractors have registered apprenticeship programs through the Department of Labor and Industry, some through the U.S. Department of Labor, and others have customized and unique in-house training programs built around their particular line of work. ABC and our contractors don't receive a dollar of state taxpayer funds for our recruiting efforts or our training programs. We do have some concerns about this bill that gives nearly $500,000 in taxpayer funds to building strong communities. Now, we don't object to promoting careers in construction, especially among our veteran population. ABC and our members are doing that just about every day. But what we do object to is the lack of access that ABC, our contractors, and our registered apprenticeship programs have to this particular program. We've heard in other committee stops and over the years that Helmets to Hard Hats is open to all registered apprenticeship programs, union and non. But when we've asked in previous years to be a part of this program, we were told that their national group and the National Building Trades controls the list of who can and who cannot be a part of their program. We haven't been contacted by Helmets to Hard Hats to partner with their group, nor are our state approved apprenticeship programs listed on as a resource for veterans in any of their outreach or materials or efforts, despite us being on the Department of Labor and Industry's apprenticeship directory. When a veteran clicks on links to various trades on their website, the only resource that a Minnesota veteran will get are a link to a union hall or their affiliated programs. Now, considering that 73% of Minnesota's construction workforce choose to work for merit shop contractors, it's troubling that nearly $500,000 in this bill and the millions in previous sessions would go towards excluding leading construction industry partners in this way. Nowhere in this funding request is there a reporting requirement to show how many Minnesota veterans were contacted, how many signed up for the programs, how many obtained jobs, or participation numbers in those categories by women or Minnesotans of color. I think it'd be helpful for the committee and the legislature to know where this money is going. Is it for a website? Is it for a full-time employee? It's also worth asking what percentage of veterans in the program will actually get enrolled in a program. Now, just yesterday at the Department of Labor and Industries Electrical Board, the head of a state's unionized electrical contractors association said that his unions had 8,000 applications last year for their apprenticeship programs, but less than 100 of them were placed. I'm wondering if that's the same thing that's going to happen to veterans. Are they going to get placed, or are they going to be on the waiting list? I would request that this committee take a hard look at the funding request and ask that Helmets to Hard Hats provide construction career paths a chance to be promoted for all veterans who want to be unionized or not. Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I'd be happy to stay on for any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Hansen. Next to testify, we have Mr. Adam Dunick. Hello, Mr. Dunick. If you would please introduce yourself and your title for the record, and we look forward to hearing your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the Labor Committee. Excuse me. My name is Adam Dunick. I'm the Director of Government Affairs for the North Central States Regional Council of Carpenters. I'm here to testify today in support of Helmets to Hard Hats. It's an incredibly popular program amongst our members and our signatory contractors who are looking to hire apprentices. We normally have apprentices here to speak to, today, and unfortunately, I think as was mentioned earlier, the two apprentices who spoke Monday are busy working. We had tried a few others, and it's a really busy time right now, which is, as you referenced, a good problem to have. But I did want to try to quote and at least summarize the apprentice that we had speak on Monday, Mariah Mudick, because I think she put it better than I could when she said, when men, returning service men and women are coming back into the civilian life trying to figure out what they're going to do, they're looking for routine, support, mentoring, camaraderie, and a feeling of belonging. We wake up every day early and we love a hard day's work. And with this program, we're lucky to get world-class training and get to work with some of the highest skilled carpenters and tradespeople around. She's a third-year apprentice with Frana Companies and is building in much-needed housing around the Twin Cities right now. We had another apprentice named Axel Shao, who's a second-year apprentice. He's a millwright. Came right off the job site and his work clothes and everything came down to testify, echoing similar sentiments. He could only take one half day off this week, unfortunately. But I wanted to speak today at least to try to put a human face to the stories behind this program. A lot gets said around the legislature and here in this committee and other committees about how to best create a job and create world-class opportunities for people. And this program does it. Helmets to Hard Hats does that exact function. I couldn't be prouder of the work that Justin's doing with the program and really strongly support this bill and urge your support as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dunick. All right, at this time, we will shift to any questions or comments, discussion from our committee members. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I first want to thank Senator Mitchell for bringing the bill. Thank you for your service, and Justin, thank you for your service to our country. Appreciate that. Just a few questions on some of the history of this. So I know it was in the omnibus bill last year. I'm not sure if you weren't here, Senator Mitchell. It didn't make it to the finish line, so I don't know if maybe Mr. Dunick or Madam Chair, just if somebody else could maybe help out in that. Or Justin, would you? I'm sorry. Maybe you would. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't want to put you on the spot there. So, so my question would be, I was going to ask kind of a, so last year, was it, how was it implemented? So it's more of a technical question, I guess, but if you can, and how is it, how's the money dispersed, I guess, the process of applying and then being dispersed, I guess, as a starter?
I will try.
Thank you, Senator. Yes,
committee
please.
Chair,
yes, thank you.
I'm not sure. We came for legislation 2 years ago and were approved for the appropriation. I don't know as to what you're talking about from last year. However, I can speak to funding and how the funding is spent. It's spent, well, and I think you should have received a budget in your packet that had a breakdown of how the money was spent. The majority of the funds go to personnel. The other expenses are in travel to be able to go to different events where veterans are going to be. outreach materials, things like that. Now, we do receive a lot of outreach materials from the different apprenticeship programs, but Helmets to Hard Hats does have to provide some things, banners and things like that. But beyond that, it is almost entirely in travel and outreach along with personnel.
Thank you, sir. Senator Dornick.
Hello. So how much is each person or veteran allowed? Is there a certain amount that they can get? Is there a cap? Or how do they do that?
Thank you, Senator Dornick. Mr. Rust.
Thank you, members of the committee. Senator, the veterans do not receive the money. The money is to help them understand. The program is designed to help them understand how to get into the trades and provide services for them while they're trying to get into the trades, including a certain amount of casework and helping them understand other opportunities and different programs that they can work with to increase their odds in those chances. We do work directly with the apprenticeship programs, but we do not pay for the veterans to get into it. We're not a placement agency so much as we are a helping hand to get them to that door.
Thank you, Senator Dornick.
Thank you. Follow-up?
Yes.
So I guess, for you, Madam Chair, is there other stops this bill needs to be at, or is this the only one?
This bill will proceed to finance next, is my understanding.
I have one or two more.
Yes, Senator Umu Verbeten.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question is for Mr. Hansen. I'm wondering if you could share with us how many apprentices you have in your registered programs.
Thank you, Senator. Mr. Hansen, can you hear us okay?
Yep, I can. Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator, currently registered with the state, we have 67 apprentices in a whole host of different trades, sheet metal, roofing, HVAC. Through our ABC chapter, we also have over a dozen apprentices in the USDOL program in North Dakota. And we utilize that curriculum for our other members as well who don't register their programs.
Senator, any follow-up? Okay, thank you. All right. Any further discussion or questions? Okay. Follow-up, Senator Dornick.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. So as far as the trades, which ones, I know you're a sheet metal worker, so is there a kind of a list of what trades are top or not? I don't know if that's something you can answer or not, but.
Members of the committee, Senator, I can tell you that the top three are always and always have been the carpenters, the plumbers, and the electricians. And they're the most recognized. Sometimes when I'm talking to veterans, they've never even heard of some of the other apprenticeship programs, which is in keeping with, you know, lack of information about the apprenticeship programs available. And that's why the Helmets to Hard Hats does so well with veterans, is when we start talking about opportunities, they learn new opportunities that they never even knew existed on top of the ones that they did. So that's the big thing, is we do help with all of the different apprenticeship programs. To kind of voice to Mr. Hansen's concerns, if a person is interested in becoming an electrician, there is a non-union electrical apprenticeship program available here in the Twin Cities that they can receive information on from the Minnesota Helmets to Hard Hats. The national program is the national program here in Minnesota. We partner with the national program, but is a separate entity.
Thank you, Mr. Rost. Any follow-up, Senator Dornick?
Yes, Madam Chair. So as far as distributing the funds, not the funds, but the opportunities across the state, so it's, I think what you said is that pretty much it's up to you guys and you can reach out to whomever or the trade that you want, is that correct?
Mr. Rust.
Yes, Senator, we allow the veteran to decide what's best for them. We don't We don't shoehorn them into any position that they don't want to be in. We don't give them information about trades that they don't want to hear about. We have a conversation with them, and based on what they're telling us, just converse about different options based on what skills they want to have or what they're looking for, what their interests are, and then from that, they're able to decide from there where they want to go. We just kind of, like I said earlier, do amount of caseworking that doesn't involve too much handholding, because many of the veterans are already working with somebody else. So we make sure to partner with those organizations to make sure that we're not overstepping and getting involved in other aspects of the veteran's life that are being covered by another agency. But we do give them every opportunity that we can come up with that they want to know about.
Senator Dornick.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Justin, for your great answers. I went through the apprenticeship program myself, the Carpenters. It's a great program. It's a great opportunity. Working with your hands, it makes you feel good when you build something or finish something. So that's great that they're taking you guys and gals that have served our country and bringing you the opportunity to learn a trade that you can support your families, good benefits, good pays, I'm happy for you. I'm glad you're in the trades, and I support the bill. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator Dornick. Senator Umu Fairbetten.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question is for Mr. Dunnick, if you could come up. And just the same question, I'm curious how many apprentices are in your registered programs.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Mr. Dunnick.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Senator Verbaden. Right now in Minnesota, last count at the end of the year, we had over 1,300 apprentices in Minnesota. And in our entire regional council, I think it was about 25 or 2,600 in the upper Midwest in our six states. Thanks.
Thank you. Can I ask one more?
Yes, any follow-up?
For Mr. Ross, could you share the placement rate?
I think you may have received this piece of paper also. That piece of paper talks about this year. So far in total, we have helped 1,025, or in total from the beginning of the program, we have helped 1,025 veterans understand apprenticeship. We've helped 185 veterans find their way into an apprenticeship program that has been confirmed through the apprenticeship programs. So that's not just numbers that we come up with.
Senator, any follow-up? Thank you very much. Any further discussion, members? Any questions? Yes, Senator Marty.
I'll move the bill, Madam Chair.
Very good.
And Madam Chair, I think the bill would obviously be going to finance, or no other requests before that.
None that I'm aware of. So.
And I'll also suggest we keep it here for possible inclusion in omnibus bill.
Very good. All right. Before we take up Senator Marty's motion, I too would just like to thank you, Senator Mitchell, and the testifiers who we heard today in support of this program. There's a reason why the trades are entrusted with these apprenticeship programs. They're the gold standard. They've created these programs, and they produce so many workers for our workforce here in Minnesota and get that training done. And I'm just so pleased to see this program being funded. So thank you for bringing this bill. And Senator Mitchell, I'll give you the last word.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And if I might just add, not only all the great things you've heard, but I don't think it was quite highlighted enough. People that are able to use their GI Bill for this, and making sure that where they're going to be able to use that benefit so that they can do that and access their benefits and do that in a way that it makes financial sense, I think is very significant. So I appreciate the support here today.
Thank you, Senator. Okay. On Senator Marty's motion, recommended that Senate File 773 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Finance and then returned back to our committee for possible inclusion in our omnibus. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, the motion passes. Thank you very much, testifiers today, and everyone for joining us. The Senate Labor Committee is adjourned.